Off the ball, GAA.
If Aidan O'Shea even thought twice about stepping away, I'd get on to pray for myself and give him a slap in the head and say, no, it's not the time.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. OTB GAA. The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. Oh, what a weekend we've just had. And the draw this morning. What a draw we've just had for the All-Ireland quarterfinals. And today, we have very big news that we have to announce. We have a new member of the Football Pod family.
Oh!
So as well as Bailey in my corner, and Hugo and Edie with Paddy, James O'Donoghue, yourself and Christina...
Yeah, we had a beautiful baby daughter on Saturday, Sophia. So, buzzing for it. We're delighted. So,
you're glowing, Jimmy. You're glowing there. You look beautiful.
I feel like more mature and just like more at peace.
You've more tranquil. You've less grays. You look wiser, but you've lost. It's a great look. Does it look well on you, Tommy?
Yeah,
it does. Father, James O'Donoghue.
It suits him. Yeah.
I earned it though. I put down a good day on there on Saturday now. I was basically a midwife.
Which is needed, really? Obviously.
Okay.
Yeah. They can't do it without you. Don't forget that. No.
How were you under pressure?
I was good. I was expecting like ER territory. Do you know what I mean? Like things crashing around the room and alarms going off and just chaos. It was very calm, nice and calm and relaxed.
Before you go any further, how's Christina?
Fling. She's great. She's still in hospital, so free gaff.
And the little lad
straight from Jimmy Bryan's bar, like, look at him.
Yeah.
He's had six pints today.
Yeah.
I had a few went down in his own last night, all right, with the boys. So
well earned. Great.
I tell you what, a good few of the lads all came on for a pint last night, which is great. Because getting fellas together for a few pints is impossible.
There you go.
So they all came on to wet the baby's head.
Yeah.
That'll be your last point for probably 3 years, I'd say.
That's honestly, I don't think it's going to be that hard. I reckon it's going to be easy. Like, I'm not messing.
Both
she don't do much. She does not do much. Right? She doesn't do much.
She's
I'm there
28 hours old. What do you expect?
Do something. Do something. So I think it'll be handy. I think I've cracked it already.
But listen, we're absolutely thrilled for you. And we were myself and Paddy were delighted when the little photo landed into the Football Pod WhatsApp group yesterday morning. So
very
congrats
beautiful.
To yourself, Christina.
Yeah, very beautiful little girl. Well done.
And welcome.
Thanks, boys.
Welcome little Sophia.
Has she subscribed to the pod already?
Yeah, she's going to the live show, she'll be done tonight.
Put her down for VIP
you
ticket.
Get her a discounted ticket.
You put
please.
Her and Edie in the side, just at the side of the stage. They'll be grand.
You boys will be holding them on stage. That is what you're getting at this year's Football Pod live show. And that's a beautiful segue. And I'll pass on, I'm sure, the congratulations from all the Football Pod listeners. They've been with us on this journey, boys. And you've had big moments in your life on the Football Pod. So congrats to you.
We've grown as humans on this pod.
Yeah. Let's keep going. Football Pod live show, Thursday, the 24th of July. We're back. We're back in Croke Park. And a lot of people were keeping their eyes out on the Instagram. I changed the bio on the Instagram just before the weekend. Drop us a DM if you want a pre-sale link. Didn't announce it anywhere else. Had about 50 message requests over the weekend. We let that link go out this morning and a clatter of you have bought them already. And we just made them live about an hour before our recording here this evening. So over the last couple of years, the tickets have sold out very, very quickly. So if you would like to be there in Croke Park the Thursday night before the Sunday with Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, myself, special guests and Sam Maguire and a load of other Football Pod listeners, go get your tickets now. So they'll be up on our Instagram stories. We'll put the link up on Twitter. We'll share it around. And it's obviously brought to you with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the pod. And of course, they bring us on the road for our live shows. So we've had a couple of cracking shows over the years, lads. And we're excited for this year. James, you've been really thinking about how we can innovate and do things a little different this year, haven't you? You're excited to make things happen. Yeah, yeah. Our long trip cross country, Paddy. James is an idea.
Sorry, you've been carpooling around. Sorry,
I'm just an ideas guy. You know, I just come up with these brainwaves.
He's just trying to make work for me. That's all he is.
I'm blowing the budget. I'm just like, can we do this?
He was I look forward to this.
Bored before the weekend, I responded to my Instagram story. I was at Amble on Thursday night. Obviously, by the way, Amble.
Great tunes. Yeah, very good. Opening, schoolyard days.
Opening tonight for Hosier in Fenway Park.
Like, they could open for the football pod live. That would
James,
be savage.
James texted me that on Thursday night. He goes, get working on this. So we
like that idea. You know, Hosier, what is it? Hosier's ma is Doreen's godmother. So there's a link there. There we. What about Hosier at the football park?
Mary Kennedy's
Hosier could play us out then.
Mary Kennedy's
take me to church.
Hosier will finish the show. We'll get Amble to kick
Kennedy's,
us off.
Mary Kennedy's. I'm only joking. Hosier's ma is Doreen's.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
So he'll do the interval and then we get someone even bigger for the finale. Yeah, you here? I see the Edge was down in Kerry today getting the citizenship, Jimmy. So if you can get on,
was he?
Would you too do it? Perhaps they love a gig in Croker.
Yeah,
I have a number for Bono. I don't know if he's still using it though. I'll check.
He leaves you on red. Yeah, that is fair. Well, listen, we've a month. We've a month to pull it together.
We do. Yeah, we're looking forward to it, and we hope, and I'm sure we'll see plenty of you there. So thanks for all the interest so far today, and those tickets are there now. I think if you search for the Football Pod Live, Crow Park and Universe, which is the ticket and link, you'll find it. You'll also find last year's two shows as well. But the best place to look is just go on our Instagram. I'll put a story up every day with the tickets, and while they're there, you'll get a chance. I will say, lads,
I got a couple of messages on it. You know, I'm absolutely shit with these links, and so I don't know how to do the share thing. And so people who've messaged me on Instagram, just go to the pod page. Yes. You'll get them there.
Exactly.
The best is when you're trying to put a link on your story, Betty. You do not have
any. No, it's so bad. It's like reshared. It's like it's not working. Like the ring told me for like half an hour ago, because you talked me through this.
The amount of screen records of voiceovers of how to put it as
link. Yeah, I do have a lot of your voice memos.
You know what?
Yeah.
You're a LinkedIn guy, Paddy.
Lead a bit of a hand with that as well.
I'm only joking.
I'll get there eventually.
No, we're looking forward to that one. Can't wait for it. Moving briefly on. Oh, yeah, the one thing I wanted to say is it's interesting the dynamics and the demographics in a season. The people who have popped up looking for tickets early doors, quite a lot of Meath fans in my DMs this afternoon, in the Football Pod DMs, interested in tickets, trying to plan for their July.
There'd be no Kerry there, even if Kerry are in the final, because they fucking despise you anyway after last year. Honestly, it was just an automatic deletion of the app, I'd say.
If you can't handle the heat of championship, we're in championship now, boys. If you can't handle the heat and the intensity of championship, get off the pod.
Probably you were getting a lot from any Kerry folk I was chatting with as well. Usually it's me they're giving stick to, but the knives out for you, man.
I know.
And the only thing is, like, the route, I give me the chance as well to be getting a bit further.
Ah, look, so I think
we'll be listening to you.
We've had a good year.
Oh, God.
Now he's going back. Look at this.
No. Yeah.
Robbie Brennan got on to him, and he's to rein it in a bit now.
Like. No, I'm just saying, it's lovely. Isn't it just lovely to be there, you know? Finally. No, I'm only joking. Lads, the draw is actually a pretty tasty draw. We were kind of workshopping a draw in the group, and we were pretty close to what we were saying. Paddy, you were nearly on the money.
I thought you were actually with Jarlath.
Yeah.
I was there going, Jarlath, this is what we want. This is the games we want. Make sure Donegal are on Saturday.
Yeah, Paddy's prediction was Kerry versus Armagh. You got that one because it was the only
draw.
That
was the actual draw, yeah.
You called Tyrone and Dublin, fair play to you. Cause,
yeah, fancy
you
know, that one. Yeah.
That could have been one three.
Happened, yeah.
And we, myself and yourself, had both actually thought that Meath and Donegal would match and Monaghan and Galway would be the other, but they're flipped. It's Meath up against Galway, and it's Monaghan against Donegal, who got through loud at the weekend, but are set to play their third game in 13 days. So
they were good on Sunday, though.
A little bit of discontent from the Donegal contingent today that, yet again, it feels like they've been slighted, they feel, by the rest of the country.
The GAA are obviously out to get Donegal.
Yeah, I can't actually read out the message I received from a buddy of mine. We'll call him Mr. Gallagher. Can't read the first message, can't read the second message. But the third message was, 8 days break for Kerry and only 6 days for us. Scandalous.
Yeah, well, the GA would favour Kerry and then they'd hate Tony Gavin. I think everyone knows that.
But you know what? It's kind of, James, before I let you in there, it's kind of the jeopardy of this championship. If you don't top your group, you lose control of the rhythm. And
yeah,
that's kind of what's happened here, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, now, don't, like, I still do think that 6 days is a quick turnaround, to be fair. Like, it is.
It's three games in 13 days.
It is a factor. Yeah, 3 games in 13 days is no joke. And I don't mean even physically. Like, those Donegal players are peak condition, fitness, and would deal with it physically. It's kind of the emotional ups and downs and highs and getting back up, feeling that fire again so quick. That will be a really, really tough game for them. I can see them having a flat patch in that game. You know, they will have a flat patch, and Monaghan will have to turn up the heat and do damage in that period. That is not going to be an easy win at all.
One thing that works for them in terms of the quick turnaround. So big thing, obviously, the physically and the emotional highs and lows and things.
Yes,
the analysis side of things. They played Monaghan a month ago. So all the analysis work, which actually does take up a lot of time for players and matchups and things like that, they would have done all that work for the championship semi-final. Yeah. 8 weeks. 8 weeks? Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
So that helps. But you're right. Look, a six-day turnaround, and Donegal, we said it, the having to play the preliminary round in Ulster and just the way that the schedule has gone for them, it has been full on. There's no ways around it. We said it's tough for every team in the championship, but the fact that they lost that game with Ballybuffet in the opening night of the group. Okay, that really just fucked up their schedule, that they didn't have this extra week off. And of all the teams, they probably needed the way they played, the schedule they had, they could have done with a little bit of a break. But the positive thing, I thought their performance, their third quarter performance yesterday was as good as I'd seen them in quite a while. They were really, really sharp, really, really clinical. We get it, loud worm. Now, the fear after winning the Leinster Championships that they just wouldn't get up to that level again, that height, that emotion. And, okay, they beat Clare and got out of the group. But
they never did, though. They never got back.
They never got anywhere really near that. They had a little bit of a patch before half-time yesterday, but we said it last week. It was going to be a massive ask for them to turn Donegal over. But Donegal, by the 50th minute, they could start making changes, take their foot off the gas a bit, because they just blitzed loud in that third quarter, and I thought that was really good for them. They'd be pissed off that it's 6 days instead of seven. Look, I don't think that's really gonna matter, to be honest. I think it tees up. I think all the games this weekend, I think we've got four absolute belters. Quarter final weekend is always magic, but this is
great. They're all 50-50.
Yeah, everyone believes, and Messon is like, everyone believes they have a chance this weekend, right?
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
and everyone is saying if we get over this one, it's not like.
And the next one. It's right there.
But it really is a case of this one, then you're really, because you'll have won a huge game.
Yeah.
In Croke Park against the odds, especially if you come through the long way, maybe then you'll have your week's rest, and you really think this is our year. Like, so
it's also
a massive weekend,
traditionally a weekend where teams, we're always every week we come on this, like, someone needs to put a marker down, someone needs to put their hand up, someone needs to get the momentum. Quarter final weekend is when usually teams come up and it's like, we're here, we're ready to rock. You know, we've seen it, was it 2023, Kerry and Dublin struggling, not playing great stuff. Kerry came up and whopped Tyrone. Dublin wiped out Mayo, and they would go on and play in the All-Ireland final. Either one of them could have won that. Last year, Galway, everyone had Dublin as favourites, and Galway come up and just blitz Dublin in the second half, go on to the All-Ireland final. Armagh had a pretty checkered record in Croke Park over the years, but they announced themselves as well and go on and win the All-Ireland. And it's, for all the teams, Galway being a little bit ropey, and Donegal that have the energy levels, and where are Dublin and Tyrone at? Kerry, question marks. Come up at the weekend and take out one of the big teams, as you say, Jimmy, it just fucking rockets you through to the next stage. And look, I think it's going to be an amazing 2 days of football.
It is. But, you know, like, even, like, shout out to the format again. Because I did a year one time, I think it was 16, Paddy, he beat us in the semi-final, right? We played Munster semi-final, and this is no disrespect to any teams, they were good games still. We played Clare in the Munster semi-final, we played Limerick in the Munster final, and we played Kildare again, in the quarter-final. No, that was 15. We played Clare, Limerick. That was our run up to the semi-final against G. Do you know? Now, look at the battering you're getting all the way to get to the semi-final.
Well,
like, it's such a test.
On that, Jimmy, right? You played well that day in 16. Could have won that game. Did you feel, was it better coming in with those easier games into that, or would you have rather been in the situation Kerry are in now, or they're being flogged week or Donegal week on week on week on week?
I know.
What would you prefer as a player?
I think I'd rather be involved in the games, big games. I think I would, yeah. I wouldn't want an easy run in. I don't think you're never going to get an easy run in again. I met Colm Collins. I was in Century that year, and I met Colm Collins above in Century. I don't know what he was doing there. And we were talking about the championship, and I just said, we're Dublin semi-final now. We hadn't even played the quarter-final yet.
And he was the manager of Clare.
I had verbal diarrhea. I was like just saying things.
That's normal.
We'll probably have Dublin. And he just looked at me. And then there was like 5 seconds of silence. And we just...
That explains a lot.
It was funny. I was afterwards like, what am I doing?
Whenever your name comes up, he just laughs. That explains a lot.
We were chatting with Davey Byrne on Saturday night after the Dublin Cork game. Chatting around this, kind of going... I'm intrigued here from all the players. Always ask how are you finding the schedule, and every single one of them. And this is off air, so we're not talking shite. Like, we love it because we're playing. If we weren't playing a game every week, we'd be being flogged on a training camp weekend somewhere else. So, the games is where it's at.
You know? Okay, for sure, right? And it's great, and it's obviously changing next year to a slightly different one, and there's a feeling, and we're not getting, we don't have time with all the games to get into a structures debate, but we'll do it again. But I think people have to realise that, you know, the rhythm and the tightness of it, and trying to squeeze in league, provincials, another league or a knockout system into the All-Ireland, it isn't really possible at the moment. Like, there's things that are going to have to give at some stage in the next couple of years. Like, I got a tweet there from Pat Gallagher, who's obviously a Donegal fan, I presume, on Sunday evening. Number of championship matches won to reach the quarterfinals. So it's the eight teams. Meath have won 5 games. Kerry have won 5 games. Galway have won 5 games. Monaghan have won 3 games. Tyrone have won 3 games. Dublin have won 4 games. Armagh have won 4 games. Donegal have won 7 games in the championship to get to the stage. So, but like Donegal put all their eggs in Ulster, winning Ulster. Like,
yes,
they just didn't top the group.
Like, come on. So, you can't blame someone else on that.
No, I know that. But what I'm saying is, like, Kerry are forever going to have to play maybe a softer side into the championship when we have a Munster championship and we have a Connacht championship, and we have a Leinster championship and an Ulster championship. It was the same, Paddy, when Dublin were obviously strolling to Leinster's there for 15 years. You obviously weren't being challenged for a couple of seasons, as I suppose in Ulster, anyone could beat anybody. So, you know, with Donegal having the tight turnaround, yes, they won Ulster, but they didn't top their group. And once they lost to Tyrone, they lost control of their fate, I suppose. Yeah. Is this where James jumps in and says, Tommy, where do you want me to go with that?
But I think we're all in agreement with that. But that is, that's the facts. Like, that's just rational thing. That's what's happened.
I know. Like, but I guess people are just giving out constantly, like, and it's like, that's what we have. Like, don't
people
go
are always like, giving out. Like, I'm just surprised because, like, Jim McGuinness doesn't need to create a siege mentality. All those players, all the Donegal supporters are as totally unified. Totally, 1,000,000% behind this team. So it's just surprising because he doesn't need to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I still would fancy them against Monaghan this weekend. I think it's kind of...
Do you remember the rhythm of their game in April, James? Monaghan were 7 or 8 points down at one stage. They kicked 5 two-pointers in the second half. Ryan O'Toole having the ball on the sideline when the hooter went.
Yeah.
You know, it got tight towards the end. Donegal winning that one by 2 points.
I think it's going to be the exact same. It's going to be the exact same. Monaghan would have learned a lot from that game.
Yeah.
And Monaghan's confidence is right up. Like, they were up front, they have gone up two levels. Like, they are scoring freely, creating loads of chances, so much pace, directness, and quality, finishing ability. Now, they conceded a lot against Down. They'll have to tidy up at the back. But at the same time, I don't think Donegal are going to put up a cricket score either at any stage just because of the way they play. I think they'll always hit their 24, 25 points. But like if Monaghan continue in their attacking vein, like they have threats coming from everywhere. Even Conor McCarthy from the back. You know, they're getting points from midfield. Yeah, Desi Ward is kicking points in every game.
Two pointer now.
Yeah. Hanlon, Brannigan. Or not Brannigan.
Bannigan.
I have Brannigan on the mind after the Down game.
Yeah. We'll get in trouble for that one. Bannigan.
Like, he's playing some absolutely phenomenal stuff as well. So yeah. I genuinely think that flatness factor could be a big player here. Where Donegal...
You think Donegal will be flat?
I think they'll have a spell. I felt it myself. It's like you want everything to be just as intense and sharp and great as it was, but there's something just a notch off at times, if that does happen to you. And Monaghan will have had time to prep and prepare and rest and recover and have their time out, improved on their little things over the last 2 weeks, trained well, come closer as a group, ready and fresh. It's a great time to catch Donegal.
It's got to be a class game.
Yeah,
this would be. Yeah. Mightn't get as much of the build up as Kerry Armagh would probably be the marquee game. Would that be fair?
Oh, I don't know. Like Dublin Tyrone is going to be spicy.
Dublin Tyrone is big. Yeah. I think the Donegal Monaghan, the way the two teams play, I think it sets it up for an absolute crack.
Yeah. And you know what? We'll be previewing on our members pod during the week. Yeah,
sorry, we're jumping the gun.
You're okay. No, but like Paddy, you'll be there for GA Plus on Saturday. You've got
Donegal
and Dublin Tyrone. And if you can't watch GA Plus on Saturday afternoon, myself and James O'Donoghue will be doing radio commentary on 98 FM for Dublin Tyrone.
For the Dubs.
Yeah. Now, James, you have to practice this line, okay? Every 5 minutes, one of us have to say hashtag up the Dubs. We're doing local radio commentary on 98 FM, okay?
How are you still doing the Dublin radio station?
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Here we go.
Made by the Kerry man.
And it's on the radio.
Jersey's on.
It's on the FM. It's not just on the app this time. It's on the FM. We're going big. So if you can't
see us there,
lads, GA+, you can listen in if you're in the car.
Hey, are you going? You'd have a pint after, would you? I'm going to have my first pint on Saturday now in a long time.
Yeah.
Maybe we can have a little football pint.
Just putting it out there. So listen.
Where? That's the thing in premium level in Croke Park. If you sneak up to the premium, a nice pint in a glass. That's lovely.
Well, now, interesting. I'd like to say, I'm an ideas guy. We'll figure out the logistics.
We'll figure that out. Yeah, we'll figure that out. We're there for the doubleheader, James. We'll be there for the early one. You mentioned the analysis being done by Donegal 8 weeks ago. I'm sure Monaghan's analysis of Donegal won't have changed a huge amount. The one thing I'd say, though, was the two goals they got at the weekend. Patton's kick out to Conor O'Donnell. The brilliant finish, although he went straight down the middle, he took it well. And in the second goal, the black card, loud at the double whammy, Kieran Thompson. They kind of sliced through loud very easily for those two goals, but they were brilliantly taken, and Donegal got the job done. Donegal, before we move on, Paddy, did you get any word from Jared Brennan?
This is what happens when Dubs go off the M50, lads.
Oh, my God.
You just don't know where you're going. It's in the lap of the gods.
How, lads? How did that happen?
It's in the lap of the gods. Once you get off, like, onto the N7, you've got no chance. Anything could happen.
The players must have been pulling their hair out.
It's not ideal.
That would be a horrible, horrible bus journey. When you know you should be done. Because a lot of fellas will have their exact times done. For maybe a stretch, a strapping, a rub. Maybe, you know, their band work. Some of them are so down to what time they put their socks on. Like, everything has to be bang, 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 bang. You're talking about a massive championship match and that goes wrong.
You don't want to be in a rush. Nobody, even if you're not superstitious, you do not want to be getting in there and leg it out. It's just how much of a difference did it make overall? Look, they were well beaten. Didn't help, but
no, it's not. It's not good. It's not good.
It's not great, but it's.
What time did they get in? I know they tried to get a 15 minutes put back, didn't they? And they said no. But what time did they actually get in?
I'm not sure.
Were they there half an hour?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I'm not sure, to be honest. I know it was tight enough, but I'm actually not 100% sure. I'll try and find it for you, James. I should have checked that out. I was off on Sunday.
Sorry, Dan. I shouldn't have asked you a direct question.
I was just off on Sunday.
Stop. So I was watching the direct questions. And everything is high level here.
So Joe Brennan said afterwards, human error in our navigation. A 2-hour and 20-minute journey to reach Ballybuffet from Enniskillen. I think it should have taken about 1 hour 45 minutes. So a killer. Also on Sunday, so I was down in Donegal 222, allowed 12 points. Donegal rewarded with a first quarter final on Saturday against Monaghan, a 6-day turnaround in Croke Park. And then also on Sunday, we had an absolute whopper of a game. Down the great entertainers, 321, as Edie joins the pod again. And nobody at home will notice, because Edie is just an angel. She hasn't opened her mouth on 3 podcast appearances so far. Paddy, you're a pro.
Dad does enough talking.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Down 321, Galway 226. And this was just such a entertaining game. Like, Down's year is over, but like, just a mention to their young goalkeeper Ronan Burns, who's had an unbelievable championship. Or a Murdoch, who has to be an all-star conversation.
Murdoch is a baller.
Baller.
Physically.
Powerful.
Do you see, in the first half, he gets a point with his left. Yeah. He shrugged off John Maher. John Maher went to full on, like, he had his momentum to tackle him just on top of the D. And Murdoch gets his right arm across and just shoves him off. And Maher actually staggers backwards. Yeah. Like, it was an incredible bit of strength. Physically, he's sensational, and he has all the skills.
Was I wrong last week when I uttered the words, he moves like Fenton? Am I wrong with that? Is he a bit more destructive?
I think he's more glides or something. Fenton's more of a
glider.
Graceful. Like,
balletic.
Murdoch has that power, the pace, the directness. He wants the contact.
Yeah.
You know, Fenton, if you got too close, right, he'd paw you off. But Murdoch wants the contact, and he's going to just push you out the way and go forward. Yeah. And then his goal. Like that, you know, to do the kind of basketball over the tackle and then the hop, finish with the right leg.
Here, lads,
he is a really solid player.
Down are a good team.
They're spicy.
Down are a good team. Yeah, I'm liking what I've seen from this summer. Keep the show on the road next year. They could take out a big team, the Ulster champ. Could they win an Ulster championship? You know, the fact they're in what, 2 or 3 years from where they were, that they're in that conversation now. I know it's
the killer.
Connor Lavery spoke afterwards that they were like, we were here to win this game. Yeah. You know, we're not, okay, good performance. We wanted to fucking knock Galway out of the championship. They totally believed they could. But get that bit of a buzz and a crowd behind them, the Down supporters having a team that they can really row in behind, and they've got good energy in their team, just young players just fucking having a cut off it. Caused Galway all sorts of problems. And I know we were asking for Galway, pull something out of the bag here, lads. Come on, the whole country's waiting for you to do something. And to be fair to them, they did. It was a brilliant game. The rules help, yeah. But the way the two teams play, I thought it was class.
It was unreal.
Class players playing class. Brilliant to see.
But this year, especially, half-time, managers are really earning their crust at halftime in games, because there's been loads of big leads chipped away. Do you see the intensity that Down came out in the second half? Like, they threw over 2 or 3 2-pointers straight away, right? But there was a big
breeze as well, though. But,
I know, but yeah. They turned over. I forget who they turned over in the start of the second half when Havern scores his free that was wide.
Yeah.
But they all reacted to that turnover. They were after getting a turnover that was going to be a score. I mean, they reacted like they were after winning the whole championship. Like, you know that a team is tuned in and ready to go when they're at that. Yeah. And I think that Laverty must have got him up to the pitch a bit at halftime.
Yeah.
And he turned that game in that window. But like, I think he's done a great job with them.
It's unbelievable. And the progress, they just have to keep that progress going. They obviously next year are competing in Division 3. It was a blow getting relegated. They have to try and find
Division
a way
3,
to get back to Sam
O'Connor. That won't do them any favours.
Absolutely annihilate Division 3.
But the league isn't guaranteeing your position. We know how the championship structure works. So they got to just make sure they find Sam O'Connor football next year. And just the goalkeeper, Ronan Burns, like, he's only a 20-year-old kid. Like, from the Drumgat club. He was actually playing Irish League soccer, and I think he could have gone wherever he wanted in that direction. And they convinced him to get back with the club. And once he got back in the club, he's only back in the club a couple of months. He's a brilliant story. Laverty managed to convince him to come in, and he's obviously made a massive difference from this year, made a couple of big saves. So also a word on Kaelan Mooney. Mooney, great. As a footballer, is somebody who's always in my head because growing up, he was this superstar for St. Coleman's. I was in school in Monaghan at the time, but it's superstar for St. Coleman's and Uri, winning Hogan Cups. And like, there's a photo of him, I think I mentioned on the pod before, of him fielding the ball in Croke Park at 16, and his feet are above whoever. I don't know what the heights they were, but his feet are over the shoulders of whoever he's catching the ball over. He was just an absolute athletic freak. He's had a couple of big injuries.
Where did you go to school in Monaghan? Did you go to McCarran?
I went to Gaelic School in Monaghan, Clostro Real. Same school as Kaylee Trapp.
You'd be a Monaghan fan now. If
so Monaghan, you're a Monaghan fucking head as well now. Jesus. Just think of that, Jimmy. I'm a mongrel. Fairly Irby.
I'm not. Now, Monaghan people will tell you I'm not a Monaghan fan. They know from over the years.
Monaghan made Clare.
Never quite gotten over.
As soon as they get successful, you'll be there, man.
I've never quite gotten over the Division 2 final in 2005 when Paul Finley's late free dropped into the back of the net and I was surrounded by all my Monaghan mates in school and primary school. So, yeah. Anyways, Kaelan Mooney, he's called it a day on his intercounty career, but he was just an athletic freak and an unbelievable footballer over the years for Down. So,
but, I mean, to still be doing it, the couple of points he got when he came on were class scores as well. Yeah. Like, they weren't easy. They were, you know, even the 1-2 he played for a second point was class. You can just tell he still has the brain.
Yeah.
It was disappointing. Probably a little bit more in him, but
his road back over the last couple of years. No? He's had a tough road back over the last few years. So so fair play to him. But Down, the great entertainers this year, they pushed Galway all the way, lads. I said last week, Galway are still playing good football. Like, they've got Rob Finnerty, lads. This fella is leading
the
charge.
Move to another level.
Shane Walsh has 8 touches in the first half and the amount of magic he made happen. And then speaking of magic, Magic Thompson. Is what he's been christened.
Great name.
I love it. By Shane Walsh. I love great it. Magic name. Thompson. This kid, like, I think we were mentioning off air last week, a touch of Marty Clark. I saw comparisons with another beautiful playmaker as well the other day. Like, this guy is carving out his own signature pass.
A Brian McGuigan type player. I don't think he's at that level yet. Brian McGuigan.
Playmaker.
Marty Clark, Kieran Kilkenny, that kind of link player. He's so... We spoke about Comer and Walsh. Everyone for years, Galway, Comer and Walsh. Unbelievable individual players, but do they link up well together? Finnerty became a bit of a foil. But what Thompson is bringing, he helps knit that forward line together. He's so important for teams to have a player like that where he can kick scores himself. We know the quality he's shown in glimpses. But his role in just moving the ball around the attack, just supplementing, but this kind of forward who can help the other forward shine. And for such a young guy, he's got a bit of class, but just the way he plays is so... I'd say Walsh and Finnerty inside. Yeah. They know if he gets it, we know we've got to do something here. And it's...
Finnerty loves him. Finnerty plays...
How would you not love him? He gets it. Right, I know exactly what I need to do. I know he's looking for me. Those type of players, link player doesn't do him justice.
No,
I mean,
it doesn't.
He's such an important role in that Galway forward line. For years we're talking about all the other guys. His role is key to making that team tick.
He's such a delightful addition to the championship, James. Do you know the pass I'm talking about, James? You know the one he played it from the sideline the last day? It's nearly like an outside of the left foot little dink. And it pops into space. The space is there for him to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the space is there now. You know, these fellas can absolutely thrive and excel. Like, I was talking to lads about it recently. It might be a little bit of... It might take a couple of years for fellas to realise that all these things are now on the table or on the cards. You know, you might see more players coming out of their shell a bit.
Mm. You don't have to hand pass it sideways. Like.
Yeah, we got so into that fear. Maybe we might see these fellas express themselves. You know, Thompson mightn't have been as brilliant under the old rules. You know, it might be the space and everything. He got one point in the second half where they got a free and he just makes a run forward and he gets a pass over the top and he finishes it with his left. But like his appreciation of space just to get ahead of the play, you know, because a lot of people... You know, we got used to running towards the ball. He just spreads the field. You can just tell he's clever, doing the right thing all the time.
He's clever.
But you know who did a great job as well? Because obviously Haveron was the man to shut down. The job that Kelly and Fitzgerald did between them, I think they kind of split the job. It wasn't just Kelly marking him, but I mean, every time he tried to move, I'd say they were banging him in the chest and driving him mad. And in the end, Haverham kind of forced one or two shots. And then he was kind of out of the game then. But the fact that they nailed down that was huge, because on the other side, obviously, Walsh wasn't nailed down, ends up getting 1-7. And obviously he's injured again now, but I mean that performance we in don't those know, few yeah. minutes
Hopefully
to do what
okay.
he did was incredible. I think he Hopefully didn't look comfortable okay. like, when he took the free no. with the left. It looked like quad, and obviously yeah. the shoulder. He was carrying the shoulder for a few minutes before that, since obviously before halftime. But I like that's why it gave me a great chance. If Walsh don't play,
hold on a second though. Like the magic he produced in that first half. I think incredible. The first the commentary line that's on the game was. He's barely touched the ball so far, and he buries that goal from Thompson's pass. Then he creates a few more. He kicks two pointers. Like, in Croke Park on Sunday, as obviously a Meath man, like, you want to see Shane Walsh out there. I'm sorry. You just do want to see him.
That game's the two-point shootout. These are two of the teams who've taken most advantage of the two-pointers. You look at Walsh, Conroy. Like, that sets it up. It did look worrying, though. That bag, yes. I know Paul just mentioned it afterwards when he got a bit of a doing for it. He doesn't have a great injury record. Walsh, you know, he picks up these knocks and things. I suppose, look, when you're as talented a player, you're tightly marked by the opponents. But when he's at his best, guys, this is why people get frustrated with Shane Walsh, because the talent, his ceiling is so high. And when you see it in glimpses, you're right, Tommy. I know you're being genuine there, even though you're a Meath fan.
No, I am.
You want to see this guy play. This yeah. marquee weekend for a game of football. Players like him is magically.
There's a lot of trust there.
The thing about him is, if you get too tight, he has the pace and the ability to get around you.
Power,
even yeah. in the Derry game for his goal, he stands the defender up and goes around him, and he's clever enough with his hand off that he can paw off the tackle. Like, that's a skill in itself. So if you get too tight, he'll go around you. If you stand off him, he'll kick long range. He has those that double threat that it's almost unmarkable. Like Tom Sullivan's reputation was nearly shredded on the back of Shane Walsh in the Ireland final, which was so unfair, because Tom had to stand off him that year, the Kerry Beak away in the final. Had to stand off him, and Walsh kicked over him and around him, and just this array of kicking was phenomenal. But then if you get in his face, he'll go around you.
Yeah.
He does
that beautiful thing there, Jimmy, of forwards where goes really slow and he's like enticing you and he slows you down. Messi does this in soccer.
Duffer used to do it.
Really slow and get the defender to come up to you and try it, and then just bang. Waiting for you, trying to entice you in. You step in or try and get a near hand in, and then he just puts the jets on, and he has that power and strength where he can just arse you out of the way, and just he's a nightmare to mark. Because he's got, if you like say, Jimmy, you stand off him, he's just going to spin them over the bar, or you go after him, he can go around you. So when he's in the groove. What are the Royals going to do with him on Sunday, Tommy? Who's picking him up there?
He gets so many threats there. Like Thompson, we're talking about the playmaker role. Maybe Thompson's gone under the radar a little bit, but now he's becoming someone, you know, a la Paddy Clifford. You've got to have somebody tagging him, you know, stopping him at source. You've got Walsh inside 1-7, Finnerty 6 points, Thompson kicks 5. And just to mention as well, 2 games in a row now, Galway have got an unbelievable kick off their bench. I'm not just talking about scores. Tom O'Callaghan buries a brilliant goal. Peter Cook has a big influence on kick out and kicks a point. But Daniel O'Flaherty as well. He's coming into games in the second half. Another Saul Tillenach na Cara fella. And just having an unreal impact. And John Heaney came off the bench. I think John Daly came in as well. So like they've just got so many options there that...
That will be critical for whoever wins the All-Ireland. That bit of pizzazz off the bench for the final quarter.
All I can say is poor Mead, you know. Poor Mead.
I suppose there'll be a lot of injuries in Mead again, is there?
Yeah, so that's all we'll really say about that game, I suppose. You know, be colourful. It'll be a colourful game.
Mead have a right chance. A right chance. Like, just from speaking to the Kerry lads after the Mead game, Mead are a good side. Like, you know, they don't feel like it was a case of Kerry took the eye off the ball completely in that game, in that Mead-Kerry game. John Stein's getting feedback from that. Mm. Like, Mead are a good, strong side, and they have every chance. if Walsh doesn't pull through, then if Meath can just suss out that threat of Finnerty, who seems to be so clever at the moment. There's so many scores in Meath. I know that Galway have the two-point threat. Meath have the two-point threat. Meath have kicked an absolutely pile of them. So I know you're going to try and play it on Meath.
I'm not playing it down.
I genuinely think every single game is 50-50. But like Meath are going to be chomping at the bit in this one. And Galway are going to be battered and bruised going in there.
Galway rightfully favourites, Meath are rightfully underdogs, right, in that sense. But there was obviously a couple of comments about it being a soft draw for Galway this morning. Like, it just isn't. It just isn't a soft draw for Galway.
It's the All Ireland four class. Finals. There shouldn't be soft draws.
There has been mismatches over the years. But this year, given the way the playing field has been levelled a touch, it just doesn't feel like that at the last eight stage. And I just think, like, Meath have had that experience of performing while they weren't at their best against Loudoun Croke Park. They
for
still
50 minutes, they were a better team.
And for a long time, they couldn't kick points in Croke Park. You know, they'd nearly shirk under the shadows of Croker a bit, or they wouldn't produce what they could produce. And they've done that now. And geez, what an opportunity for Meath and Meath fans going up the road to have a bit
of
hope.
They have a few bodies back. Is Costello back?
I'd imagine reading between the lines that Matthew Costello has a right chance. My understanding is, and I'm not yerring here or anything, my understanding is James Conlon's season is gone, unfortunately.
Oh, what
yeah,
is that?
And he was flying. I'm not sure, but that was the feeling. And I don't think there's any hope of Ronan Jones being back given the litany of injuries he's picked up this year. So Meath are just going to have to do without them. Jack Flynn was in a cast up there really recently. So I'm not sure that was in his hand. So I'm not sure if he's going to be back or not. We obviously saw with Dermot O'Connor, James in the Kerry game. You know, Jack takes the chance on him. You know, Paddy, I was saying last week, I didn't think the Dubs would risk Conn, and they didn't. They decided not to risk him, and Cork pushed him all the way. We'll do these games after the break. But Kerry took a chance on Dermot O'Connor 2 minutes in. What happened? The shoulder went?
No, it was the throwing.
Oh, was it?
It was the throwing. So, I mean, look, we knew once Kerry lost against Meath that the pressure was going to come on, and like Jack couldn't risk not playing all the big boys then. He was going to take a risk with one or two, and it just did not pay off with Dermot. Like to throw in, I think he fell on it, and you can just see they're coming in to deal with him straight away. He's in trouble, and I know myself, I had that injury so many times.
You've been there.
It's so hard. It's a lifelong injury, you know. Like he has to get that sorted out and come back, but. I just wish he didn't go for that bloody hot ball. Do you know? If there's any time you're vulnerable, it's over your head with the shoulder. Because
play midfield,
there's not as many of the big muscles involved.
In Jack's or Kerry's defence, it was kind of like, because he'd missed so much football, the argument going, well, Kerry were always going to be Kevin. Why would you fucking risk him in that game? But it was like, he needed minutes as opposed to, say, you don't play him at all and then, okay, during your first game back, you're coming up against Grimley and Creeley and Armagh in the All-Ireland quarterfinal. You need to have, I'd say, their plan, ideal scenarios. Let's do the first half. Let the game, I know Cavan get a bit of a purple patch third quarter, put a bit of respectability on it, but Kerry could have won the match by 50 points. The risk, you take risks on it. The surprising thing is that it happened so fast, because you would imagine he would have played, you know, he's been signed off to play for the physios, but himself, he's obviously, yeah, I'm out, I'm ready to go. Jack says, okay, let's do it. Imagine he would have played training games or been really put to the pin of his collar in training. But like you going for a throw up, the first ball in a match and it's gone again, you're thinking, he cannot have been right. Cannot have been right for it to happen like that. So it's just, it's a massive blow to Kerry. A massive blow to him himself, because he's such a good player for Kerry. He's so fucking important for what they're trying to do. It's you never like to see a player under that pressure.
But that is the thing with that injury. There's no, I'm 100% with it, because it can go at any time. At any time, you just be the wrong angle and there's nothing in the socket to stop the ball coming out of the socket.
Yeah.
So it's just like you're playing with fire constantly playing.
I was at my cousin's wedding in Tipperary at the time, and I actually handed my phone over to my uncle Damien behind me because he wanted to watch the games. I kind of was trying to catch up on them afterwards, and he just roared O'Connor was gone. 3 minutes. I couldn't believe it. You'd be just gutted for him. Yeah. Do you know? You don't want players missing these big games, these big moments. So hopefully there's
And you saw with Myler how, you know, big a toll those injuries take on fellas.
Yeah, it's awful. And he was flying in the league. Jesus, he was unbelievable. Lads, we're going to take a quick break on the football pod. We have to talk about the Tatchin Cup semi-finals. Paddy, that's your baby. And then we're back with the
Did you even watch them? Did you even watch them this weekend, Tommy?
I did. I watched them on Sunday.
Who won? Who won the games?
Wicklow and Fermanagh.
This one I'm dealing with.
Okay, we're back right after this on the football pod with our last little bit. We've got the Dublin game, we've got the Kerry game, we've got Kildare's win against Fermanagh and Limerick's brilliant performance against Wicklow as well. Right after these.
OTB GAA.
You're very welcome back to the football pod of Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. We have, of course, announced our live show on Thursday, July 24th, just over a month away, in Croke Park, the Hogan Suite. We've sold it out the last 2 years. The tickets are on sale since about 6 o'clock this evening. So if you're listening to this on Monday night or Tuesday morning and you're interested in going, go snap them up. The link will be on our Instagram stories on the Football Pod page or on our Twitter account, the Football Pod. So I'll put them up there. And it is, of course, brought to you by AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. Lads, we've spoken about the Sunday games. We've mentioned the All-Ireland. James, you're laughing.
I'm just laughing. You're Mr. AIB at the moment after stealing my AIB Monday Minute key.
Snake. A fucking snake.
I just so the listeners know, I am doing the Monday Minute for AIB. I had to take a few days off for the birth of our baby. And Tommy sneaks in and steals that great job I have.
I'll be honest.
And he is now doing an AIB Minute this week. Not even the Monday Minute. What you're doing, maybe.
Yeah, he's changed the week. He's changed the week. He's undercut you.
I'll be honest. I text you because I thought you said, I can't do it. Would you ask Tommy to cover me?
No, I know.
I would have made a better suggestion than you.
Who would you have rather have done it now? What is going on here?
The only man would have been you.
James, I thought we got over.
He's been angry for last week. He's been angry for that since day one.
He has. He keeps bringing it up in the past. Oh, James, your Monday Minute was fantastic. I wonder.
Do you know what I realized? I had to put a voice note together to explain that I was taking over for the week and that it'd be coming on Wednesday. And I realized it's a lot more difficult than I thought, man. How do you get it on to the minute?
Look at this. He's trying to roll back now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's coming on Wednesday. That's coming on Wednesday.
Is it Wednesday?
I'm not sure. I'm on strike. Solidarity.
I'm going to put out my own. Right, James O'Donoghue Minute.
I'm letting you do this.
Under a different bank, a rival bank.
Hey, you spent time with your daughter this week.
The Anglo-Irish Bank Monday Minute. It'll probably be wrong. It'll probably be shady, but we'll get it out there.
I actually can't wait to see it. It has made my week though.
I'm under a bit of pressure with it now, so I'm going to have to put out all the stops.
I would encourage all listeners though, make a comment underneath it. Make sure we get it out there. Share and comment.
He's going to get all the Kerry fans who built up this tension from my poor Kerry comments that have been quoted back to me a lot last week. But listen, poor Kerry got the job done on Saturday at Fitzgerald Stadium. You got by Cavan.
Yeah.
There was a couple of nice Cavan scores kicked over the weekend, but their summer has come to an end. They obviously had the high of beating Monaghan, Mayo and Miguel Park. Jesus, Paddy, what's wrong with your face when I say Cavan kicked a couple of nice scores?
Come on, we're better than that.
Paddy, come on, man.
Paddy. None of it. Let's move on.
Yeah.
There's no positives to be taken from that game.
For Cavan.
And for football in general.
Okay, well, listen.
Tomás Kennedy made his debut for Kerry.
Okay.
After his leaving under 20. Did he leave under 20, the did day leave before? Yeah.
On the Friday.
Wow.
And came on, shown very well in training. Came on, got a point, did everything right. You know, bypassed a lot of fellas in the panel there to get game time. So
midfielder, sort of a.
No, he's playing. He's playing inside 14 inside, for the 20s. He's playing Tomás, 15 for Kieran's O'Reilly's.
He's tall. Tall kid.
Tall, rangy, good in the air, good kicker, scorer.
So yeah. Good player, Jimmy. High hopes from, by all accounts, from what I hear. Yeah.
He'll see game time against Armano. He'll see game time against Armano after that. So, yeah. Especially after us losing Burke to Australia.
For sure.
Be nice.
Good to see Party back. Party got a few minutes at the end. So you were just when he came on, you're like, Jesus Christ, don't you get injured as well? Like, so you know how important he is. You'd imagine Dermot O'Connor's gone. Highly unlikely he'd be there for Armagh on Sunday. David Clifford, lads, you know, he had to go 3-7. He genuinely could have scored 6 goals. Like, just it just looks, he's just cruising. Did you see his interview after the match?
No.
So the interview after the game with us, and it was very, very good. He's such basically, you could see he's taking this on himself. He's like, Kerry probably not going as well as they'd like to be, injuries and all that stuff. But he was like, we need the Kerry supporters there next weekend. We're not playing our best stuff, but we need everyone just to row in behind us. And it was a real, like, I don't know, mature, just proper leadership. No fancy stuff, right? It was just like, I'm going up there, this team is going up there, and don't care if anyone writes us off, we're going to give this a rattle. And you know what, with Kerry, yeah, it's our favourites. I think overall they've a better balance in their team, but we always say with Clifford, he could go bananas. I honestly have never seen anyone like him. Goals he scored the other day, it's like, honestly, I was doing it with Mark O'Shea. It was like, he's playing fucking Cumberland Munster goal. Like, this is senior championship. And he's like just running over fellas and then just side-footing. And he is phenomenal. And I'm looking forward to seeing him on Sunday now. But,
yeah. Just picking up on that, like, you know, O'Connor goes off after, you know, the first play. 5 minutes in, Clifford gets that ball on the sideline. And his Paddy's like, What's he doing there? Like, a goal isn't even on. Is that a statement to the rest of the players, to the Kerry fans there?
Yes.
Is that what that is?
I think it is, but that's him. That's in his nature. He just wants to go for the jugular every single time. He finds it hard. Like, even if you look at a lot of the scores he gets, the points he gets, he's going for a goal and it's just gone over the bar by a whisker or, you know, he tries something that other people wouldn't try. It's just in his, it's in his build, it's in his nature to do that. And it is great to see the leadership. And Gainey and Clifford now have both come out and asked the Kerry supporters to travel. Is it actually a thing where they've noticed that the support obviously isn't great? They've had a couple of games in Killarney where obviously the attendances have been poor. But like, if you're playing Armagh, the championship games that we've done, Tommy, with the covering, that Armagh have been involved in, Croke Park.
Huge.
The place is orange.
It's unbelievable.
The place is... And Donaghy does it above. He tells the fans, he goes, we need you. So like, it's interesting.
Hype man, the ultimate hype man, Kieran Donaghy.
I think that you need to match that. Like, there's no point in every MR score being an absolute, you know, storm of noise and colour. And then your score is just getting a token clap out of the hill. Do you know, like, you need it to be 50-50 in these big games. So I thought that was interesting that they both
But even Jimmy, even if it wasn't MR, you get the sense... Definitely missing the Clifford after the game. It's just like, we need you. It doesn't matter if we're playing Armagh or not, and Armagh have a massive arm. Just, we need everyone pulling in the same direction here to try and, like, they're still in All-Ireland there. You know, we said that not a lot between all the teams. Kerry have Clifford, you know, they've got a chance to do it. Just get out and support us. But you're right, when you get into Sunday, like, Meath are going to have massive following. Armagh will probably have the biggest crowd there out of the four teams. The Galway public have connected with this Galway team. Obviously, they've been knocking on the door the last couple of years. Kerry need to have a crowd. I know it's a Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, but you got to get down there. The players are calling for it. Yeah,
but Kerry have an unbelievably loyal regular
core. They've a loyal core fans. Yeah,
they have a core group. Honestly, no,
I know
they would kill for that team.
Yeah,
I think it's just the numbers at times. You know, it doesn't get up to the high numbers until.
But I think every county. I think every county has that, and just because Kerry are perhaps in the mix a little bit more than most counties in most years,
maybe
they get that side a bit. But you're right; like, every county kind of has that core. And when you're covering games and you're at games, you get.
Hey, when Ambrose will be beside us, Tommy, really?
Yeah,
we're in the press box on Sunday. We're sitting beside the lads. Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to get somebody to cover the Meath game for me. I don't know if I can cover it this time.
I'm doing the Meath game.
I might just let you take over. I think I might just go and get out of the press box. I'm only joking. I'm only messing. I'll be able to be neutral and be professional.
Tim and Amber are funny though, because
they're amazing.
I was watching, obviously, the Meath game wasn't on TV, so I was listening to it, and it was curtains. Like, the season was over after that. Like, there was no point in anyone even throwing a ball up for Kerry anymore. Like, and then I listened to a bit of the Cavan game, and honestly, we were back, baby. It was
like, the lads are sensational.
The trophy. It's brilliant.
Second, I hope they weren't listening to the pod last week, or they mightn't talk to me. They usually have a...
You're fucked, Tommy. Yeah, you are fucked.
A bit about it. Can I just ask you, James, like, we might have slipped past this, and Paddy jump in here too, but... Like, David Clifford has 7 goals in the championship this year. The last footballer to do that was Donegal's Seamus Bonner when they won the 1974 Ulster title. He scored 8 goals in the championship that year. He scored, I think, 3 against Down in the Ulster semi-final.
Different game.
4
there's
against...
more games now as well. Like, genuinely, lads, Clifford could have scored 6 goals.
But it's still... Goals are still huge. We saw it in the Galway Down game. I know we're talking about the value of them, but, like, in Croke Park this weekend... We're surely guaranteed to see a couple of cracking goals. Like Brian Howard's goal last weekend. Like, what a moment of, again, taking a game by the scruff of the neck.
And needed. Massively needed. Yeah. Jesus. Dublin were, did not look like scoring a goal. Didn't score a goal the week before against Derry. And how he gets it and turns, you're thinking, just clip it over where I thought he was. And it just opens up a bit from rifles and into the stanchion of the top corner. Like, they always look better. But yeah, the Dubs, they got that goal and Cork reel off the next 4 scores, you know. Back in the day, Dublin get a goal like that into the hill and it's like just a wave coming down and that's what you're hoping for. But credit to Cork, I have to say. I thought it was as good as I'd seen them this season. Matched periods of that game against Kerry and Páirc Uí Chaoimh in the Munster Championship. Just ran out of a little bit of puff, didn't score for the last 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah, a bit of bench impact as well, maybe.
Yeah, and this is going to be an issue for the Dubs as well. Particularly, Calm was missing, so the guys like Lachlan O'Dell at the start, he's obviously an impact coming off the bench. Colly Baskell is injured. So, if you're looking to the sideline there when things are getting hairy, it's probably not. Now, young Luke Branagh comes on, who's a good player, but he gets a score, but he's a young filly, you know what I mean? Like, we're into this is big time now going forward, so... You look at teams like Galway, you said it, Tommy, that impact off the bench. Armagh could probably play 23, 24 players. It's an area of concern. But they got over the line. Credit to them, they got over the line without Khan. Wasn't a classic.
But
their work cut out this weekend, though, against that
team. I'd kind of given up on Cork, James, after watching back their performance against Meath. I just was so disappointed with how they performed that day. After... showing the glimpses against Kerry. And again, you know, it's been, they stuttered again in the league and you can kind of see that they're nearly getting there under John Cleary over the last couple of years. And you can see what he's trying to do, but it's just not happening. So I don't know where that leaves them, like, because there's obviously, Jesus, a county like that, there's so much talent there, but like they're nowhere near maximizing it. Like.
No, I mean, they stayed in the game. Chris O'Jones kicks 1-4. Like, he caused Dublin serious bother. Yeah. Like, they didn't seem to be picking him up at all. Like,
Merchant was on him, but it was just...
We were
behind that goal. It wasn't just Merchant. It was, there was a lot of space, you know, and this is the time. Even with Merchant, Lee Gannon, John Small, these guys back, it's hard for teams to shut down forwards with these rules. There's more space. In Croker, there's even amplified. But that Dublin rear guard, Jimmy, you've been saying it for 10 years, but this year it's probably more permanent. It is creaking. And you look at their challenge this week against a full forward line to throw it off. They need to work on it. They need to pull something out of their back. But Chris O'Jones was really, really sharp. And Hurley was sharp as well. He started off quite well. Davey Byrne does get the grips in him.
A couple of nice ones.
Was he raging with Chris O'Jones, James, for not squaring that shot, the second goal? He obviously took the first goal brilliantly on the left.
He was. It's a tap in. Like, it's a tricky one because I know myself, when you're going for a goal, you've done the work, you want to finish it, but Jesus, in a big game like that, it's a tapping at the back post if he slips it, and it's a different game.
It is defence. Davey Byrne does very well
to get back. Yeah,
Davey Byrne is actually between Chris O'Jones and Hurley, so it's he would have had to loop it maybe over Davey Byrne. Yeah. Hurley's coming in with momentum, can put them all into the net.
Yeah.
You'd be raging if you didn't get it, particularly when he misses. You're like, what the fuck? And Hurley was raging.
It's going in the net. If he hangs it up there, it's being bundled in. The three of them have ended up in the ball and the defender and
everyone. Hurley. Yeah.
So, but look.
Any more to add on that? So in Cork season, James, obviously it ends alongside Downs at the weekend. It ends alongside Louds.
I don't think Cork necessarily...
Alongside
Cavan. I think that their season is done. I don't think that they earned a spot in any further, another place. Do you know what I mean? I think with Dublin, I think that Tyrone are going to cause them serious, serious bother at the back. Dublin looked so open. A standoffish. Like
it was passive. They were all over the pitch.
The old Dublin, where when you took a solo and your head came back up, you were getting contact. So you were getting hit. Now it's like you could take four or five plays and the defender is still kind of shadowing you. Do you know,
they
like
brought that to Derry, though, James. They brought that to the Derry game.
Yeah, they did. Look, again, the week on week, it might just take that 2% off the intensity. It'd be interesting that they get there. But like, if you think about the players you have to get tight to in Tyrone, Your Canavans, your McCurries.
Tyrone are better than Cork. They're more dangerous. They've more threats than Cork. Look, Cork bring their own style of play, and to give them credit, they tend to play well against the big teams, Cork. But what happens for the rest of the season?
There's something off there.
They have to get out of Division 2. They've shown we can perform against big teams. We have the power, athleticism, couple of good forwards. Yeah, but could they do a little bit more stardust up there? Yeah, every county would probably look for that. But you cannot play at that level and then for the next three or four matches be just ragball Rovers. Like, they have to get out of Division 2. They're frustrated. I'm frustrated. We're all frustrated looking at them. Yeah. And none of us are fucking from Cork. So imagine what their supporters or John Cleary are like. So for them,
but they're not doing well underage. Like they're not winning. They're not winning Munsters or the latter stage in the other hands.
And yet, the Munster Council are making the decision to
see this.
Like, should that be right? Like, should Cork be rewarded for mediocrity?
Well, if you look at the attendances in Munster this year, right? If you add them all the games, if you add up every single game, the finals, semifinals, quarterfinals, there was 33,000 all the games. If you got a Kerry Cork game in Killarney, there's 40,000 if Cork are going well. Do you know, like, so I don't know. It's like just there's no bit of spark in the Munster Championship at all. There's no bit of life in it. They need to do something. I'd be all for doing something, because why is our championship not like the Ulster Championship or even some of the Leinster Championship games or the Connacht Championship? The Munster is really, really lagging behind.
It won't be.
No, I don't know, is it?
Leinster Championship's where it's at next year, lads.
I don't know. We'll see. We just got to decide what we want, lads. League or Championship, you know?
I know. But if Tyrone kicked the ball, lads, against that Dublin defence with those players, I think it could be a great day for them. It could be such an exciting day for that forward line of Tyrone. If they can tell the lads outside to kick the bloody thing in, I think they can light them up.
They did it in the league game, that last game at home, and they got a lot of joy out of it. Dublin, I think, would be better, but it's a brilliant game. It sets it up. They need Conn. They fucking
But Dublin are so different with Conn.
Yeah, they are.
They're different.
The impact he has on the other forwards, the whole forward unit.
We're talking about Clifford. We're talking about Walsh. Like, that's Conn for Dublin. The one fellow, though, I will say that Tyrone, I'd imagine, are missing, because I'm looking at a photo here of him in absolute agony. Another player who went off injured in the early minutes of the game against Cavan.
Yeah.
Michael McKernan has kicked 218 from wing back this year. He has been absolutely exceptional for Tyrone. And if he's not there, massive loss. Lads, we're going to preview these games on our members' pod on Wednesday. Paddy, I want us to give time for you to bring us through the Tatchin Cup on Sunday, because I was getting a bit of grief again on Twitter. James, like, you've ratioed me so many times.
Deserved.
On Twitter.
Deserved.
I think I may have to delete my account at some stage, because anytime you comment under one of my posts, you get like 1,000 likes. You're like the popular kid in school. I'm just getting shit all the time. I think it was Jack Finnerty McCoy. Another prediction wrong this weekend. Paddy, what more do Limerick footballers have to do to get more than a mention on the pod? Surely more than 5 seconds on the next pod. James comes in. I tipped him to win on the pod, Jack. Tommy was too caught up with Meade to realise there were other games on. Apologies on his behalf. You sent that I suppose your daughter was born at that stage. I thought you were in the maternity ward.
Yeah, I had the gloves on.
Christina, hold on for 1 second. I have to reply to this tweet.
The head was out, but we were waiting for the next push.
Paddy, talking through it. Kildare, again, got the job done. Quite a few wides in that game, but they held off Fermanagh missed a couple of late goal chances late on. But the Wicklow-Limerick game, this was entertaining. And, you know, Wicklow missing a late
goal. Thought they'd done enough, like...
Josh Ryan saving a penalty, then kicking a two-pointer from... Oh, was it a 45? Big
plays.
Was it a two-pointer or 45?
It was phenomenal. I thought Wicklow, the momentum they would have got from that Westmead win, they had the game won, really, but that final quarter, you have to give credit to that Limerick team. Just steamroll. Like, mistake for the goal. You know, you don't like signaling out players, missing the penalty, and then a mistake for the goal that lose Limerick back into it. It's heartbreak for that Wicklow team. Like, you think when we were at the last stage, we say Westmead were probably the best team on paper, that old phrase on paper, and Westmead or Wicklow took them out, but did a lot of right things right. But be fair to Limerick, Jesus Christ, it was pulled out all the stops, final quarter, got over the line. Kildare for Fermanagh was not a good game, lads. Jesus Christ, it was grim. It was like to the old days of the old rules. Kildare, old failings in front of the post, but they get a bit in. They talk about kick off the bench, 5 points from McLaughlin, gets them over the line. They'll be favourites. Clare will be favourites in that final. And if they manage to get it done, promotion from Division 3 and winning the Celtic Cup, is that a bad for season for them? By all means, but I think it'll be a much better final. I think the way those teams play, Limerick are exciting enough to be fair to them. I would still fancy Kildare, but I hope it's a good game because that Kildare for Fermanagh game was... Fuck, I think it was grim.
We've seen Limerick produce a couple of brilliant performances now in Croke Park. They're a team that like it. I mentioned Josh Ryan in goals, obviously a forward.
Two wins
back
there
in the
this year, like
they play the right way. They play the right way.
Yeah, Danny Neville's finish for the first goal, lads. Like you know, Crystal Jokes came in the same angle against Cluxton and kind of went down the middle. I think he was trying to do what Neville did. Neville curls it around Cluxton or around the Wicklow keeper Mark Jackson at the near post and. Beautiful little finish into the corner. So, that's going to be an entertaining game. It's going to be on All Ireland semi final weekend, the Tatchin Cup final. So
Saturday the 12th. We'll be doing it, Tommy. Yeah. Me and you will be there. It's the curtain raiser for the first senior semi final.
So I guess that means James, you're going to be there.
Hang on. I'll tell you what I am getting these days is shafted, is what I'm getting.
Hey, Jimmy, between you're my there Monday minute as well.
Between my Monday minute. And now getting second pick on all the games. I don't even get to go to the Kerry game this weekend.
Jimmy, you can stay up on my gaff that Saturday night because we'll be doing Saturday the 12th and Sunday the 13th.
We'll be doing it together, hopefully. The three of us. Yeah,
we're all in this together.
Okay, that'd be nice.
Okay, lads. Listen, good shift put down. Good pod. Big pod. A big weekend in your life as well, James. So congratulations to you. We're delighted for you. And
thanks, us.
I think that's Monday's football pod. As we mentioned already a couple of times, tickets are on sale for our roadshow. They'll be gone very quickly, so snap them up. And
when they're gone.
Even if your county aren't there, you can still go. You can still have a great night on the Thursday night and soak up the atmosphere and maybe get an idea of what it would be like if your county can go all the way. So it'll be a big show. In previous years, we've kind of got maybe candidates from the counties involved. I think we might mix it up this year. I think we might try and go big.
Is this one of Jimmy's ideas again?
Yeah, we've been talking about it, so I think we're gonna try and mix it up and see who we get. So
what, not go with the counties involved?
Well, we might, but there just might be a little bit of
it's going to be another meet,
a game changer.
Yeah. Graham Garrity's coming on and Colin O'Rourke.
We might go for a couple of hurlers to see. Keep the appeal.
Limerick's a football county now, lads.
It is.
And Dublin's a hurling county.
Yeah, the double is up.
Yeah, it is. Fellas,
Cork will win the hurling, will they?
Sure, they already. No, I won't say that.
Paddy Power paid out them at the start of the league, shouldn't they?
Jimmy,
Tommy Rooney kiss of death.
You talk to Bono, I'll talk to Hosier, and we'll sort out the entertainment.
What's Hosier doing? Interval? Bono left his CSO at the end of the show.
Whatever way they want to flip it themselves, you let them decide.
Beautiful. That's this week's football pod. championship has just been unbelievable, and there is another couple of unbelievable weekends ahead. Paddy Andrews, James Donoghue, good work. Talk to you soon.
Cheers, boys.